You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
Triangle Tire, Tires for Life presents Dave's Corner Garage. The following is a paid program. Opinions on the show are always expressed with a certain joie de vivre. Please consult a doctor before listening, as laughter can be infectious. Buckle in, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your top-down, wind-in-your-hair, Saturday morning automotive thrill ride. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, but right now, love us on Zoomer Radio.
Yeehaw! Here we go, Brian. You ready?
I'm ready, Al. That woke me up for sure.
Well, you know
that. How are you doing today?
I'm doing all fine, but that'll only work if your car is actually in your driveway, right?
You know, that's the thing. It's helpful if your car is in the driveway these days. And, you know, as we've come to learn, cars disappear from driveways from time to time.
Probably with that same speed and sound, eh?
I don't know about that. I think thieves try to remove cars silently these days, and it's getting easier and easier to do as we've learned. And it's not the old school way. It's the new school way. And it's typically done through electronic measures.
Exactly. And you don't want to wake up the dog or the people inside the house. You know, you just want to make a quick, subtle getaway. And it doesn't take very long before they're, parked, usually for a couple of days to cool off, I think is the routine. And then ultimately they make it to the port of Montreal or somewhere along there and get on a boat.
Yeah. Yeah, they end up in a container, and as some news outlets have actually, you know, investigated, they oftentimes end up in other places around the world, like Africa. And, if your SUV or sedan disappears in Toronto, you might find it in some small country in Africa driving around.
Now, you're famous for reviewing vehicles yourself, and I just saw one of your reviews of the hottest car that's getting stolen right now. Did you not worry that it'd get stolen from your driveway?
I put the cars in the garage, and that's the thing. So, it used to be a situation where you wanted to put your keys, your keyless key in a Faraday box or something, or maybe the freezer, so that the car and the key weren't communicating. Well, that kind of doesn't matter anymore, because thieves can use their technology, whatever that is, to gain access to your car even without the key these days. But for me, I put the car in the garage. The key is far away from the car anyway, and everything's secure. But you know, in my neighborhood, there's a lot of people don't have garages, or their garage is full of stuff, so they park their expensive SUV in their driveway.
Well, we've spared no expense to bring in two special people today to tell us. Well, one's going to be quite informative. The other one's got a sad story, unfortunately.
Yeah, it is, and that's Mitch Levine, and he's been in the news lately, and it's an unfortunate story, and it's a very similar story that I've heard with some friends. You know, my watchmaker, for example, had his SUV stolen from his driveway.
He should watch more carefully.
Well, that's what I told him afterwards. He said, "Brian, you're the car guy. What should I do?" I'm like, "Put it in the garage."
Exactly. And then we've got Elliot Silverstein here. You know, he's our friend from CAA, and they have great insurance, but they get tired of paying out, eh?
Well, this is the thing. Everybody thinks, oh, you know, car theft is a victimless crime. Well, it's not, because the more and more cars that are stolen, insurance companies are a business. They're not a charity.
Exactly.
And they have to make money. So, you know, the consumer is the one who ends up paying ultimately.
All right. We got to take a break. I don't know if Brian can hear this music in the background. We have to tell our guests that, you know, but Brian is in Detroit on business, I'm sure. Having a great time. Don't forget to bring me those cigars back that you promised me, eh?
Sure thing.
All right. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max with my pal Alan Gelman. And Al, it's definitely been an interesting week. In automotive news, there's fun stuff going on, but not a lot of fun stuff are the Ford workers are still holding the line, and they're accelerating their strike.
Yeah, and they're apparently targeting where the who and where they strike, because you know they want the biggest bang for the buck, and apparently they make the manufacturer makes way more money on commercial vehicles, trucks and whatnot, rather than passenger cars. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, a company like Ford, it makes their highest margin vehicles are all the big trucks, not just the F-150, but the 250 and the 350, as well as their luxury SUVs. So, of course, the union has focused on those plants, and that was in the news, I think, yesterday, where they've shut down one of the biggest plants that produces those big trucks and luxury SUVs, and that really hits Ford where it hurts, is, you know, in addition to the supply. In addition to consumers.
Well, exactly. You know, especially if you've got one on order, you can sort of scratch that date off your best before day. You know, that's not going to come. We've had suppliers, you know, we've had supplier issues before. But apparently some of these suppliers are now, it's one of two things. Either they're told to build stuff and then stockpile it, because normally it's last, you know, what do they call it? They just supply it until they actually need it.
Just in time.
Just in time, exactly. So they're telling, because the minute that the strike is over, they're going to want to ramp up production, obviously, or get to back to the, you know, try to clear the backlog. But if these guys don't have this stuff, they're not going to be able to do it. But in other cases, the suppliers have just been told to park it all together now, and then unfortunately, because of the trickle down now, they'd have to lay off their own employees now. So these are innocent people who are like walking the line. Well, not walking the line. They're just without a job for the meantime.
That's exactly it. And you know, one of the principles of just-in-time manufacturing is not that you sort of stockpile the stuff and warehouse it. So the entire supply chain doesn't have the warehousing built into that process. So at some point, the suppliers will have to stop making components to supply to Ford. So it is a big trickle-down effect, and it affects more than Ford's workers, and of course is impacting, of course, car buyers as well as people at the dealer level.
We're still seeing supply issues too in terms of getting parts to the manufacturers. I know I was just talking to somebody yesterday who was promised to have the electrical steering. Like, she got a new Porsche, and they said, well, your electronic steering can't work as it should. We're missing a chip, and we'll get back to you when it arrives. And apparently she's not heard back from them, and she doesn't even think she's going to get it at all now.
That's unfortunate, but it's still the case. I mean, and even in the racing world, there are components that are delayed by months. It's a strange world now, but it's across the board. The supply chain issues still haven't fully resolved themselves in the automotive world, let alone other industries. But it's coming back, and as we've seen, inventories are starting to build up. So consumers who are buying new cars do have a little bit more choice than they did a year ago, that's for sure. But inventory levels across the board are still not where they should be.
No, in the case of where they have vehicles on the lot, these aren't cars waiting to get picked up. These cars that aren't sold yet, is that right?
That's correct. And you know, the truth of the matter is that it is the less popular makes and models that are on dealers' lots. So the desirable cars are still in short supply. But if you want something that's, you know, a little less desirable, maybe not as pretty or as fancy as some of more premium brands, you have your choice of those cars.
Apparently, there's a lot of battery-powered cars that are on the lot now.
Yeah, we've been talking about that a little bit on the show, and EV inventories are starting to build up, and what it's, you know, I think a great way to frame it is that the early adopters of EVs have all bought their cars, and the mass market of car buyers, they're really not interested in EVs, and you know, for good reason. I happened to meet a gentleman yesterday, mm-hmm. who drove a Tesla for the first time,
right.
And it was entirely disappointed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just was not. It was not intuitive, because Tesla designs their cars more tech forward first rather than human first. And
right.
You know, you get it in a normal car, drive it, no problem. Get into a Tesla, you got to figure out how all of this stuff works.
Oh, so from a driving perspective, or from a driver, old style driver perspective, you're not impressed at all. In other words,
no, I'm not a fan of them. I don't find that they're driver oriented, and you know cars don't drive themselves. So you've got to have a great human machine interface, and the Tesla's not doing that, at least to my satisfaction.
I have to laugh because I do some social media myself just to watch, but there's a crazy guy named Scotty Kilmer who's like an old school, grease under the fingernails kind of mechanic. And all of a, and he hates electric cars. All of a sudden, he was in a new Volvo, and he was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Okay.
It's true. It's not that I'm anti-EV, but, they can be pretty cool.
All right, cool. All right, we got to take a break, pay some bills, and we'll be right back. This is Big Al and Big Dave. No, Dave's not here. Unfortunately, he's passed, but Brian's there.
I'm here to take up the slack.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max, not in studio, and here with my pal Alan Gelman. Al, what's going on today in the world of cars?
Well, actually, in the world of being in the studio by myself, I was out shooting the breeze and figured, because I know the boys are already in at the hoist, ready to go, right by the toolbox. Out in the hall getting some water, and next thing you know, our producer, our technical producer, Ashley, is outside going, we're back on the air. I went, okay, oh, I forgot. Anyways, everything is good. My car is running fine. I'm doing a show that I got called to do, I guess. You always say I have a face for radio, but actually I got called to do some television. It's going to be a Zoom call, so they're not going to be a good up close, but I'm going to be on Pat Foran's Consumer Alert. They call me periodically when there's a car thing coming up. And we just have to I think what we're going to be doing is reminding people that they have to service their cars, eh? Now, you always drive new ones, but you happen to have older ones as well, and you take care of them, don't you?
Of course, and it's so important, and it's not difficult to do. Every car comes with an owner's manual and does have the service schedule in there. And if you've got a newer car, your dealer is going to stay in touch with you. It might be annoying getting emails from them all the time, but sometimes you get a reminder that your car needs to be serviced, and it's so important to do that to maintain the longevity of the car. It's so important.
We're taught to do that by, I guess not so much by friends, but usually by parents, eh? And I remember, going to the tire with my dad, and we'd wait around while we got the oil change. So I was told of how important you got to do these kinds of things. But in a lot of cases nowadays, I don't know that, children or young teenagers get told about this stuff.
No, not at all. And a lot of, unless they're car enthusiasts, they just don't know, what's going on with a car and why it's important to maintain cars. And, thankfully, a lot of new cars will tell you it is time for an oil change, or you need this particular service or that particular service. And as long as you don't ignore those messages from your car, you'll be fine. And it's so important. And also, with the condition of Toronto's roads, it's also a good thing. I'm sure you'll agree, Al. It's a good thing to have a mechanic have a look at your car every once in a while, because the roads really, really give a beating to your car.
100%. As much as people are now just think that the car computer is going to tell you when there's a problem, there's a lot of mechanical things on the car that will not give you symptoms necessarily until they actually fail. So there's no light, there's no noise, there's no rattle, there's no smell, just bang. And next thing you know, you've lost your steering or things like that. So you can't depend necessarily on an idiot light to come on to warn you prior. So this is why it's important that you take your car into the shop, at least once or twice a year, and say, guys, look over the whole thing, see if there's anything that needs attention. And for the most part, guys are straight up. They'll report back to you what needs fixing right now, what can wait down the road. But it's important because, like I say, you don't want to wait until your brake caliper is not releasing anymore, and now you've burned up a set of brakes. You've done all kinds of damage. And because when you ignore this stuff, like, for example, suspension and alignment, if you don't get that addressed, obviously you're not going to experience a failure, but for example, your tires aren't going to last half as long as they should.
That's exactly it. And you know, there's a lot of things, and you're absolutely right with respect to the mechanical side of cars. The electronics do a great job. Mm-hmm. But more often lately, because I walk my neighborhood a lot, and what I'm hearing more often, Al, yeah, is brakes being completely worn out where the backing plate of the pad, yeah, is dragging on the brake rotor. And you know, some people don't know what that sound really means. Yes, we do, but this is another reason why you should have your car regularly inspected.
Yeah, Dave would always talk about RTFM, and we ended up learning what that was. But there's a lot of new vehicles now that don't even come with manuals, eh?
Certainly
not printed books that are in the glove box.
No, absolutely not. And, you know, I typically will drive a few new vehicles every month, and there are some that do not come with a manual. They expect you to, you know, scan the barcode and look at the manual on your phone.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, and certainly there's no problem for me. I mean, people want to look things up on Google. You know, they have to understand that they're not specific to their vehicles necessarily. Sometimes they're way too general. It's like, you know, when you go see your doctor and you think you got something bad because you Googled it, and it's not typhoid fever. It's maybe you just got a cold or something, you know. But there's great resources out there if you need help. And by all means, like you say, you can always call a dealer. You can always look up. And in fact, all the manufacturers have service, you know, schedules on their websites, eh?
Yeah, for any kind of vehicle, the web is a great resource. Of course, you know, do your best to get your information from an official source, because there's a lot of bad information out there as well. So sometimes people on the internet really don't know what they're talking about. But then the best reference is to go to your manufacturer's website, look up your vehicle specific information, and you can find the service schedule and other important information about your vehicle.
Exactly. It'll tell you how often you should bring it in, what the lights mean. I don't know how many times, you know, people would say, I have a light, it looks like Aladdin's lamp. What is that for, you know?
Oh, Al, speaking of which, I got to say, I mean, I think our listeners understand this, but it's that time of year where it's getting a little darker earlier. And what I'm finding is a lot of cars are driving around with their brights on.
Yes, that or no lights, eh?
That too.
and I used to flash my lights all the time. And my wife said, what are you, like the light headlight police or something? And I kind of given up on it because people don't know what I'm doing. Like, they have no idea why I'm flashing their lights. I don't see them change their lights. And I got tired of pulling up beside people and rolling my window down because they think I'm crazy. Anyways, got to run. And speaking of sad things, we're going to be talking to Mitch Levine, who's a famous star now on CBC, but unfortunately for the wrong reasons. Anyways, he'll be with us to tell us his sad story right after this break. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max with my pal Gelman, and joining us on the line is Mitchell Levine with a bit of an interesting story. Good morning, Mitch.
Good morning. So, where to start? In July, we bought a new Lexus, an RX 350H, and knowing that it was one of the most stolen vehicles at the time of even talking to the dealership, we said, you know, do you offer any additional alarms or kill switches or anything? And they said no.
Now, Mitchell, let me just back up for 1 second. This isn't your first Lexus, correct?
No, this is, we had a Lexus stolen last September,
right? So
unfortunately, a 450H.
This wasn't hearsay. So you actually experienced the fact that your cars get stolen from your driveway.
Correct.
Okay. All right. So now, you wanted to take some kind of precaution to ensure that your car would be there when you got off the subway.
100%. You know, when you spend $75,000 on a vehicle, you want to protect it.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, since Lexus vehicles are so often stolen, and there's, you know, there's a feeling of vulnerability that you really want to avoid.
All right,
about your car.
So to try to avoid it, you ask the dealer if they would install any kind of protection device for you?
Well, if they had anything beyond what came on the vehicle.
Right.
And they didn't.
Okay.
So we also own a Toyota Highlander. And on the Toyota, we have a kill switch installed.
Okay. And that other car, it's been on there for a long time. You've had no issues with it, eh?
Absolutely none.
And as far as you know, no one's tried to steal the car?
Actually, someone tried to steal the car just over a month ago.
Oh, okay. But they didn't get very far.
They broke the rear window. They came into the car. They tried to start it. This was captured on our neighbor's camera. And then they left, and a short time later, they came back with a key fob and unlocked the car and tried again. But right. They weren't successful.
Ryan?
It's, you know, as we know, their thieves are getting sophisticated, and it's all electronic. And with some cars, it is very difficult to stop thieves. And Mitch, you went an extra step, because it's happened to you before. You went an extra step to install some equipment to prevent theft. Isn't that right?
That's correct. And little did we know that we would find out that if we had any problems with the car, that the warranty would be void on the car by doing so.
So just by you trying to protect yourself and putting in this device that they couldn't provide or sell you, you now lost the warranty on your car?
Yep. When we took the car back for service, because we were having communication issues that were showing up both on the key fob and on the app,
right.
The very first question we were asked was there a third-party alarm on the vehicle? And I wasn't going to hide the fact that we had installed something, so I said yes. And they said, have it removed, otherwise we will not work on the vehicle.
Wow, so what do you have to do with that case? Take it back to the guy that installed it and have him take it
out? Correct. Yep, so we did that. And the problems continued, but...
So that was an expense for you, wasn't it? Did you not have to pay these guys that you've finished? Now you've paid them to put it in. Now you have to pay them to take it out again?
No, they did that free of charge.
Oh, that was nice. Okay. But at the same time, when you went back to the dealership, they still couldn't figure out what the problem was.
Correct. And the other thing they said is it's all on your nickel because you've modified the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
So because we had the car at the dealership for almost 2 weeks, and they were quoting upwards of $20,000 in terms of, a whole host of parts that they would need to replace.
So they already knew at that point, from the time they'd spent diagnosing it, that's the amount of parts that needed replacing?
They didn't know, actually. They figured that almost like a number of garages do, we'll start replacing parts, and when we stumble on the actual problem, then we'll solve it.
Okay. I think I was insulted there, Brian. there are some techs that know what they're doing, but unfortunately, in your situation, you didn't find one at this dealership, and you had to take your car somewhere else, correct?
Correct. So we took it to a second dealership, and actually within
Let me back up. How much did you have to pay the first dealership to get your car back that was being held hostage?
The ransom?
Yes.
So we paid, initially they wanted 16 hours. We negotiated them down to 9.
Oh, wow. So still was a couple thousand dollars then, eh?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Now, was the second dealer able to get your car running?
Yes.
Okay.
Took 4 hours to diagnose the problem, 2 hours to fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
However, we had no warranty on the car because the first dealership contacted Lexus Canada and told them to void the warranty on the vehicle.
Wow, I didn't know they could actually do that, but it's really unfortunate, too. I mean, certainly, I guess in a certain respect, if there's stuff related to the electrical work, fine, but engine, tranny, all the other stuff, it's really senseless that they do that. And just the fact that they put that on the record, that diminished the value of the vehicle, eh?
Basically, we could not sell the vehicle until we replace the wiring harness on the vehicle.
And then they would reinstate your warranty. Wow, what a mess, Brian?
Correct. And that had to be done by a Lexus dealership.
Wow. Brian?
Right. So, Mitch, I can't imagine you're at any kind of conclusion with this whole situation. And the situation is definitely an understatement. What do you think your next steps are? And do you have any advice for new Lexus owners?
Well, certainly, I can do the PSA in terms of if. You should always go to your dealership and ask your dealership if they offer an alarm beyond what comes standard on the vehicle. Mm-hmm. If they don't, you may think of shopping to another dealership that does have a third-party alarm that the dealer can install.
Did you actually find this out after the fact?
Yes.
Oh, you did. So there are other dealerships that will do that, and
correct,
and, but on the same kind of vehicle, then correct.
Correct.
Oh, okay. Wow, it's too bad again that you didn't know this beforehand. I mean, the other issue too, that now I understand both of these vehicles were stolen from the same place. Where did they take it from?
A Green Pea parking lot, Wilson Subway Station, Green Pea parking lot.
Okay, is there no cameras there or any kind of security at that lot?
There's no security at all. Unfortunately.
Oh, wow.
Wow. And you know, as we know, that you know, the police aren't that serious about investigating these things. I mean, they're overwhelmed. So, you know, if you do lose a vehicle, you're probably not going to get it back.
Well, the sad thing is it took 6.5 hours to actually get through to the police.
No kidding.
So, yeah, it's, and then if you want to add insult to the whole situation, when we purchased the car, we were told that the dealership was offering an extra security measure, mm-hmm. actually an insurance policy.
What was that?
And that was etching on the car. So if you paid $418 plus tax, mm-hmm. If your car was stolen, you would get $5,000 or so, we understood. Mm-hmm. But actually, it was an insurance policy for the dealership, because unless you go back to that same dealership and purchase another vehicle, you don't get money.
Wow. So you had to, and you had no choice whether to take it or not, eh? They'd already put it on the car?
Correct.
Wow. So you got beat up for that, too. Because your next vehicle is not going to be a Lexus, certainly not from this dealership, That policy is void, right?
100%.
Okay. All right. So, well, it's good to know that there are some manufacturers out there, or some dealerships per se, that will, you know, put on some extra security for you. Now, your insurance company, are you able to still deal with them, or they don't want you anymore?
So far, so good.
Okay.
The other thing that everyone should be aware of is,
yeah.
You know, if you purchase a highly sought after or a highly stolen vehicle,
right,
you're going to pay potentially up to 30% more in insurance.
All right. So what's your next one going to be?
We're still looking. We did visit Mercedes, mm-hmm. and looked at the 300 GLC. We'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks for sharing your story. It was a sad one, but some great points were made. People have to know that, you know, if they're going to go over and above trying to protect their vehicle, that they could be messing up their warranty, which they certainly don't want to do. Mitch, lots of luck down the road, and hopefully you'll be able to keep the next car at least through the lease time anyways, eh?
Yeah, I don't think we'll be parking at that Green Bay parking lot anymore.
All right, take care of yourself. All right.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. All right, speaking of insurance, we've got Elliot on the phone with us after the break. He's from CAA. They got some great coverage, and he's got some great tips so that hopefully when you get off the subway, your vehicle will still be where you parked it. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max with my pal Alan Gelman, and joining us on the line is our friend Elliot Silverstein from CAA. And Elliot, as we spoke with Mitch earlier, car theft is a real issue.
It really is. It's one of those topics that just keeps coming up in the news and is on everybody's minds because it's happening so frequently and really in so many different areas. And we really need to change that conversation and start, you know, talking about and getting to the solutions of, you know, thefts are being deterred and people are having that comfort again that their cars are safe.
Right. Some people think that, you know, it's a big deal. If my car gets stolen, I'll get a new one. Isn't that a positive thing? Probably not.
No, I mean, you know, a lot of people have that false sense of security. They say to themselves, well, you know, if my car gets stolen, I'll file an insurance claim and I'll get a new car. And while that, you know, you will get paid out, you know, in those moments, you know, the long-term effect of this is that we're seeing so many cars being stolen that, you know, the root problem is that we're all going to end up paying for this more down the road. We've seen, you know, different tactics being taken this year, but we want to make sure that regardless of whether your car is a highly sought-after vehicle or whether it's not, that people are taking the precautions because we don't want people to be paying more for insurance because of the volume of claims that we're seeing across the board in the province.
All right, but here we just had Mitchell Levine on, the guy who's lost apparently 3 Lexuses at this point. Now, here he tried to prevent it himself by having an alarm installed. It just messed things up even worse, and then, of course, they made him take it out. If you're not allowed to do that, How else can we stop the theft of cars?
You know, there's a couple of pieces to this. And I think that, you know, what the important parts are, you know, understanding what you can and cannot do, talking to your insurance company, because some insurance companies do have certain requirements now of putting certain things in. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that's really important is creating that visual deterrent. And that's the thing that CAA has really been trying to zone in on over the last number of months, is that, you know, we want to make cars harder to access. Thieves are going to work hard to get those cars. If you have something like a club, a steering wheel column, that is going to require minutes to break it apart, mm-hmm. a thief may move onto another one. So while, you know, you don't want to have somebody else have that misfortune, at least you wake up in the morning with your car there. It's not a solution that is perfect, but it certainly is a deterrent. And the more that we can deter, the better off we're all going to be.
Right. And here's the same thing. I mean, he had a vehicle stolen at the same lot, you know. Can they not make the lot owner responsible at some point?
You know, it's challenging. I mean, it depends on some of the rules. But again, like, thieves are fairly knowledgeable. I mean, you know, they know what to do. Again, you know, if people have their car stolen, ultimately, you know, you end up getting a new car. So you want to take preventative measures if your car has been stolen. Change some of those habits. Because if your car has been stolen once, what are you going to do differently in the second time around to make sure it doesn't get taken either? Whether it means putting it in a garage or parking your cars differently. Like, what are you going to do? And then if it's in an area where it's in public, you know, maybe you try to find something that's more visible near a camera, understanding those types of situations so that you can make certain changes. But that's the challenge, that these thieves are very well connected to understand where to go and what to do and where people are not paying attention.
Now, Brian, you live midtown and the houses generally have smaller garages and the vehicles are so big now, you see them get stolen all the time, do you not?
It happens. It happens all the time in my neighborhood, and it's everything from Lexuses and Toyotas to Range Rovers, and that's the nature of it. And speaking of which, and I think Elliot, you'll agree, I had a conversation with my brother-in-law last week, and he said, my SUVs, I heard that model's getting stolen, and I looked at him, and I said, it's time to clean out your garage, make room for your SUV, and park it in the garage.
Right. I've even heard of where thieves have moved a car away. Like, you know, people say, well, if you block your car in, you're safe. Not necessarily so.
No, I mean, there's people that are going to try various things, but you want to try and make it as hard as possible. I think that, again, if they're working now in a situation of seconds versus minutes, mm-hmm. the more that you can create those deterrents, the better off you are. And the other challenge is that there's no one single solution that's going to work for everybody. Everybody's situation is different based on their location, their type of vehicle, their situation. So you know, really, it's about trying to find that solution, because even if you're out and about going to the grocery store, what precautions are you taking then? You know, it's unfortunate to be talking in this manner, but until the situation is resolved long term, we need the public to really, you know, be part of the solution and say, we're going to try and avoid these things from happening, because to get this resolved properly, it's going to require so many different people together, from the public to policing, government, as well as the vehicle manufacturers.
Now, you've been trying to get that ball rolling, have you not, as far as making the manufacturers get responsible for this?
We're trying to get everybody to the table, and I think that's the important part, because one of the things that we've been trying to address is that it's been over 16 years since the vehicle standards in Canada have been updated. So you look back 16 years ago, there were no iPhones, there were no iPads. What are these people using to get access to your vehicles? They're using those types of mobile technology. It's really important that these vehicle standards are looked at and updated so that it actually mirrors what we're using every day in our lives. And I think that's a huge opportunity, but it's also going to take time. So we need to have some preventative measures right now while we get the manufacturers to step up and make cars that much harder to access, because we have so much convenience in the cars, and it's been a trade-off that's what people are using to get access to our cars.
Well, you know, I hear people talking about, you know, I put an Apple iTag and AirTag in my car. That's not going to prevent your car from getting stolen. The other unfortunate part is, but the police and the border aren't doing anything either.
Well, I mean, the police are doing, you know, they're trying to do their part. I mean, we've seen that investment from the government in Ontario of over $50 million, and there's a lot of different efforts to try and curb these issues. The problem is there's just so many pieces to it. But the other side of it is that, you know, again, the border services is an important part of this conversation for solutions, because so many things are exiting Canada. It's how do we try to catch some of these cars that are already stolen that are being shipped out to other markets around the world? If we can start cracking down on those elements, then that's also another deterrent, because you know, they're going in shipping containers and they're on their way in a matter of hours. And that's one of the challenges, and why I keep saying time and again to those I meet with, is that no one organization or industry is going to be part of the solution. Everybody's going to have to roll up their sleeves and do their part.
Ryan, when you guys bring cars in from Europe, are they open or are they in a container?
Oh, they come on a special pallet. I mean, we're talking about race cars, so
yeah.
You know, our race cars are useless to thieves. So, Elliot, I definitely have to thank you for joining us, and you know, we hope we can educate some folks out there how to take precautions and prevent their cars from being stolen.
Thank you. Yeah.
You know what? When I get bored and there's nothing on TV, I watch Border Security, eh? And but they only seem to be concerned about what's coming into the country, not what's going out. I guess we're going to have to turn that ship around and figure out how they can do that.
Absolutely, we need to make sure that that's happening, because really, at the end of the day, you know, while we look at some of these longer term solutions, we need to make sure that that Border Services is doing their part, and that's why we want everybody at the table. And the faster we can do that, the faster we're going to have solutions.
Elliot, thank you very much. CAA.ca,
CAASCO.com for Ontario, CA.ca for national.
Great products. I've got them myself. I've saved a whole lot of money. Thanks for joining us, and we got to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Welcome back to Dave's Corner Garage. I'm Brian Max, not in studio with my pal Alan Gelman. And Al, car theft is a real thing. And I think if we can leave our listeners with a few ideas about how to prevent their car from being stolen, I think that'd be pretty helpful.
Well, like I say, I've certainly mentioned putting it out of sight, you know, putting it in a garage. And like you mentioned, you know, if you have a garage and it's sitting for the most part empty, you know, I understand it's convenience. You know, you just get home and you just park the car and hit the lock button. But it's out in the open. It's going to get stolen. I mean, here, this guy Mitch has had, I think this is actually his third car that actually got stolen. So it's pretty crazy.
True. Yeah, it is. And, you know, there's some simple things you can do. We talked about it earlier. You can get a device like a club, a steering wheel lock. And that's very, very visible. And you know, in Mitch's situation, he was parked in a big parking lot. And, his particular Lexus is one of those things that does get stolen frequently. So while you may be able to protect yours with a club or a similar device, thieves are just going to go to the next one that doesn't have that and take it. And it's not a victimless crime, because ultimately, as drivers with insurance policies, the insurance policy goes up and we all have to pay for it.
Exactly. And, you know, we were talking earlier about supply chain issues. It's not like they've got extra Lexuses sitting on the lot for you to get when yours gets stolen. You know, sometimes you'd have to wait for months. And speaking of insurance, they're only going to cover a rental for so long, eh?
Yeah, that's exactly. There are limits to that in your policy. So, it's right now it's not a great situation, because if you do lose a vehicle, you're going to be stuck maybe purchasing something you really don't want to buy, mm-hmm. and it's just all around a bad situation. So, you know, make sure you park your vehicle in the garage if you have one. Make it difficult to steal, and remember, it's not a victimless crime, and the police are not waiting for you to investigate your stolen car. It's not like television.
No, I understand. You know what? And I had somebody who was freaking out. It was a guy that owned a small leasing company, because one of his customers' vehicles was stolen. He had an AirPod. He knew exactly where the vehicle was, and because it was 20 miles east of the city, the local police department said, "Well, it's out of our jurisdiction," and they wouldn't do anything.
That's exactly it.
He goes, it's parked there, and we could get my car back,
Exactly. They just don't have the resources to investigate these things.
Yeah, terrible. All right, well, if you have a car still, or maybe there's public transportation, check out the Fall RV Show is going on this weekend, and you can go visit our friend Amy Bradley from Wayfair. Great lady. She knows all about camping, eh?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And it's a great show. I can't remember her name off the top of my head, from the RV show. So it's a fantastic show. If you're interested in RVing, get out there this weekend. And don't forget, on davescornergarage.com, we have our Triangle Tire Fall Contest. We're giving away a set of Triangle tires.
Exactly. And whether you need just new all seasons or whether you want some winter tires, which we always suggest people get in this climate.
It's that time of year, isn't it, Al? It's that time of year. It's October. Time to switch over from your summer tires to your winter tires.
Exactly. Give your guy a shout. Make sure that he's got them handy. And if he's got them in storage, have him check just to make sure that the tires are safe. Because a lot of times, when guys are certainly in our shop when we were busy, we'd pull off the tires and throw on the winter ones, but we really wouldn't be looking at the condition of the other ones, eh? And, tires do age. We know that from ozone and the composition of the rubber breaks down. In fact, we were on a walk the other day, and my wife said to me, "How come that car has its covers on its wheels, eh?" And I said, "Well, so they don't get sunburned." And she thought I was just being snarky, but that wasn't but that wasn't the case. And I had to explain to her that, yes, the ozone, the sun, will deteriorate the rubber. It starts to crack. It doesn't stay supple, like those commercials for moisturizer go, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Well, everything ages out, kind of like us too, Al.
I thanks, Bri. Well, it depends on how old you think I am, you see.
Oh, you're just a young fella.
I know. Hey, question. You're in Detroit. Is it easier now to get Cuban cigars there, or do you have to bring them from Toronto?
Oh, they have to come from Canada. I mean, you like anything, you can get them here, and it's not too difficult. But, the joy is trying different cigars from around the world.
Oh, is that it? Because it's funny, because I drink beer. Well, not a lot, but, it depends who you ask. But I like to drink the same stuff all the time. But I know there's people that like to try different things all the time. You're like that with cigars?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But the one thing I don't do usually is smoking cigars and driving.
No. Well, as a matter of fact, I think the manufacturers in your case, when you're doing a test drive, would be very upset if you brought back one stinky car back, eh?
Oh, that's for sure. I do recall a story from a few years ago. We heard a very high-end manufacturer had loaned a car to an influencer, a social media influencer, uh-huh. who smoked a cigar in the car, and essentially ruin the car.
You know what? I understand that. I just came back from Daytona, a trip with my son-in-law, and we rented a Lexus, and it smelled terrible. But I guess being an ex-smoker, I was more susceptible to it. We want to thank Elliot Silverstein from CAA. We want to thank Mitch, unfortunate soul that got his car stolen many, many times. But the good news is, I guess it's gone now, so he doesn't have to deal with that part. Brian, drive safe on your way back.
Yeah, sounds good, Al. Thanks very much, and have a wonderful Saturday.
All right, and you too. And Ashley, thank you very much for the help. We got to run. This is Al from Dave's Corner Garage. We'll see you next week, everybody. Drive safe.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.